Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Today's topic is purification, but before we explore our theme, we must mention that Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust Organization, and the Lucis Trust Organization sponsors this show. And all the dialogue that you'll hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey. She wrote 24 volumes of literature, and everything that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. Purification involves the elimination of all that hinders the nature of divinity from full expression. And before we explore that topic, this is a sequel show and follows the last show on purification. So I'd like Sarah to more or less recap what we're talking about when we speak about purification.
We were talking last time about purification being an elimination of all that is, I suppose you could say, the not-self, all that stands in the way of the expression of the inner divinity. So it's a stripping away. In fact, the word we said comes from the Sanskrit pure, which means free from all alloy and limitation. It's unadulterated. And this strikes me as indicating the difference between purification and the puritanical approach to life, which we also discussed last time. Traditionally, rites of purification and the general puritanical approach to living that we see among people has to do with a sense that the human being is contaminated, dirty, impure, unworthy of God's gaze. And this leads to a kind of a hair shirt approach to life that some religions encourage, where you, if you are a believer, you kind of turn against the outer self, the body and the personality, and view it as a contaminated substance. And it's kind of a perverted approach to the human being, and it flies in the face of the idea that each human being is created in the eyes of God. So the puritanical approach emphasizes inhibiting and restricting the individual life and habits to the point of suffering, whereas purification regards elimination of all that stands in the way of divinity. And the awakening to the need for purification is a recognition that indicates one's approaching the spiritual path. In fact, it becomes a very important issue as one prepares to really set foot on the spiritual path. It isn't a concern that goes, that continues forever along the spiritual way. It's an early stage that purification becomes important, wouldn't you say? There are two symbols for purification that suggest this: water and fire. So they concern the early stages.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we touched on that last time, the effects of fire, the fire of mind. Mind is symbolically a fire. It's always considered a fire, and fiery energies of the mental body. And the watery association of the emotional nature. And whenever you bring fire and water together, it produces a lot of steam and vapor, which clouds the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happens in one's own personal atmosphere when the fire of mind combined with the emotional fluid of the emotional nature, then there is all these glamours and illusions produced through this interaction.
The most familiar practice of purification probably has to do with this initial step onto the spiritual path. Probably a lot of people think of celibacy, of vegetarianism, of refraining from all kinds of physical practices like those. That has to do with what is called the first initiation. And we discussed not too long ago what initiation is. The first initiation tends to focus on the preparation of the individual, the outer person, to set foot on the spiritual path. And the focus is on the physical life and the care and habits of the physical vehicle. So vegetarianism, celibacy can be major concerns. But beyond that, there's the second initiation, which regards the control of the emotional body. And so when you think about purification on that level, then you get into purification of thought and attitude and emotional reaction.
There are so many constituents of the spiritual path. One of my favorites is harmlessness, certainly purification is important too. At what stage of the spiritual path does purification become really important?
Well, that's essentially what we've been discussing, when one really begins to step on the path of initiation, having to deal with the first initiation and all the problems there, and essentially that's sort of what Sarah was just alluding mm-hmm. to. Do you want to recap some of those, Sarah? Maybe that would help people to remind them again.
Recap what?
What you just said about the first initiation and the purification stages.
Well, the practice of vegetarianism, physical fitness, toning and preparation of the body to be a fit receptacle for the soul. We can see this in the world today, I think, because we talked not too long ago that there are large numbers of human beings that are preparing for the first initiation. And that is why there's such a concern about the physical body today, physical fitness, the development of a body that is strong and nourished and pure. So there's a lot of concern about ingesting pure water, eating only a vegetarian diet, to some extent celibacy, although that is generally confined to the monastic orders.
Also emphasis on the environment. I mean, the air and the water and the land and the purification of food, mm-hmm. pure foods and pure air and pure water.
Organic food.
And all of that is indicative, I think, that humanity is beginning to reach that point in their consciousness where they are facing these problems, not only for themselves individually, but for humanity as a whole, for the planet, for that matter. And as you say, there are millions of people in the world today that are at that point in their consciousness where they are can begin to step onto the path. And this, so all of this, these problems that we're facing now, having to deal with the environment and with the water and with vegetarianism and with health and of the physical body in particular, all of these are problems having to do, I think, with the first initiation, and also it involves the second initiation too.
What I find odd is the odd mixture in today's times of both an emphasis on purification and a kind of a puritanical strain, alongside a culture that is sex-obsessed, if you look at the media, and often very vulgar and crude. For example, people who watched the recent PBS series that was rebroadcast on the Civil War were struck. A number of people commented to me that they were struck by the articulate and refined correspondence that passed between human beings in those days, 130 years ago. It isn't duplicated today in our interactions. There's a loss of refinement and of gentility, and yet at the same time we can see that humanity is in fact moving forward in its spiritual evolution. So this is just really a question I'm posing to myself. Why is that? Why do we have these odd dichotomies of a kind of a puritanical strain and a vulgarity at the same time and an emphasis on purification and yet a culture and a media that are becoming more and more crude? And nobody probably can answer that for me.
Well, we're not all at the same stage in consciousness, and I think that maybe one real defining reason behind it all. There are those that are striving to reach some state of integrity in their creative works, and there are others that are just out for whatever they can get for themselves. So I think you have this great pull of values going back and forth. And maybe that's one reason why the world is in such a sense of struggle we're facing.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and today's topic is purification, which is another aspect of self-improvement. And all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. So help us out, guys. We need to pay for this show and so many other aspects of what we do. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, Lucis is spelled L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. So anything that you can donate to help us out, we'd really appreciate it. And also, what might be good, too, is if you want to know more about the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust does sponsor this show, just give us a call and order our general package of information. There's a lot of information in there. It's very comprehensive, and I think a lot that's in there you'll find extremely interesting on other levels as well. So give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. More about purification, something I think all of humanity needs. What are the most difficult aspects of purification?
I suppose it depends on what stage one finds oneself, because there are different types of purification. There's physical purification, there's moral purification, there's mental purification, and there's something called magnetic purity. That is a concept that I think is kind of fascinating. It's the achievement of a, I suppose you could say, a state of vibration or of magnetism that makes one a channel for spiritual force. So these are all different levels of purification, and I think depending on where an individual finds himself, each stage has its own challenges. You can imagine that physical purification is challenging, but think about the achievement of mental purity in the quality of one's thought life, the ability to inhibit certain strains of thought that lead toward separatism or toward cruelty or pride or hatred. The elimination of that type of mental creation has to be achieved before one can really be pure in one's mentality, and it's not easy.
No, it's not easy, and I think the way to do that is what we've alluded to before, is through substitution, and this is what it comes out in the writings of Alice Bailey, too, that really is the only way that one can effectively create or undergo this transformation in one's character and one's nature. It's substituting soul values and soul qualities for those more lesser qualities of the personality. You mentioned the limitations like pride, and for the self-centeredness and the tendency to criticize and all of that. Well, there are ways that you can substitute more soul values. You can substitute greater love and understanding for this, for the tendency to criticize someone. But you have to first know that you're criticizing and
be aware
of yourself, and stop it before it happens. You know, stop it, cut it off at the pass, kind of thing, and then substitute a greater degree of love and understanding before you let these critical remarks pass your lips. And it's gradually building into your nature, to your life, these new, more refined, soul qualitative patterns of thinking and acting and doing. And that's a difficult thing to do.
I think there's a lot going on in today's world that works against the achieving of this kind of purification. For one thing, we are so overloaded with information input, the media, the internet, the pace of life, the amount of material that we have to deal with mentally and emotionally is so overwhelming for so many people that I think they probably feel they don't have control of what's going on in their minds and their emotions. And yet, that's where we have to do our work, most of us. On the emotional level, we have to find the purification of a quietened, peaceful, still emotional body. And as you say, substitution is the solution to it, building in images or visualizations that work to create that kind of stillness and peace within one when one is in an agitated state can be a help. That's why meditation is so important.
Yeah, I was just going to mention about meditation, because that's the whole purpose behind meditation, is to create that sense of quiet and peace within the mind and within the emotional nature.
It's also a way to begin to see what is going on in one's mind. You start to realize the train of your thought on a habitual level.
And what you're really doing is trying to synchronize your whole being, your whole outer life, with a higher, more refined state that is embodied in the soul qualities of love and light. And there is if you keep at it and work at it, there is an actual transformation that takes place within the physical body and in the emotional nature and the mental nature at the very atomic level. I mean, the very atoms of these bodies are change, and the coarser atoms are thrown off and the more purified atoms are drawn in. So one is gradually rebuilding oneself, one's bodies, one's emotions and one's mind.
There's another level at which purification can be approached. We've been talking about the individual level, but there's also something that's happening to humanity as a whole. You could say over this past century that has had to do with purification. I'm thinking about the World War that extended from about 1914 till 1945 with an interlude between the two wars. And vast numbers of human beings were subjected to purification through the fire of war, through the abstinence that was caused by wartime deprivation, the hardships and the suffering. It was acute suffering on the outer level, and yet when you look at it from the angle of the soul, of spiritual development, we're told in the writings of Alice Bailey that humanity made tremendous strides in consciousness through the deprivation and the suffering, the fire and the water experience of war. It had a very purifying effect on humanity and probably is responsible for many numbers of human beings moving through the portal of initiation due to that experience. Now I wonder, I wouldn't be able to say where we stand, because in some ways it seems as if humanity has slipped back from that attainment of purification through deprivation and sorrow into a more selfish, self-serving place.
Well, I suppose we take two steps forward and one step back,
maybe.
And but we do progress little by little. And I think all in all, as it says in the Bailey teachings, that humanity did make tremendous strides. And the mind of human beings really opened up, and it has led to a tremendous creative period that we've experienced in the last 50 years since the war, and the world has changed tremendously because of that. And I think all of that is part of the the purification that's going on.
There's another element to purification that's kind of interesting, and it has to do with something that happens on the purely physical level, but it has an analogy too, I think, and that's fever. Fever is a means of purification. When you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Fever is literally a fire that's burning within the physical body, and it's said that when it doesn't run amok, fever can be quite productive. Is that the word? It can achieve it's the body's way of alerting you that there is a problem, and also of dealing with the problem on the level of heat, of combustion, as long as it doesn't get out of hand. And maybe we could say that the whole fever pitch of life today, that especially in the Western world is so noticeable, is a sign of the burning away of something that needed to be eliminated. We're right in the middle of it, so we can't say where it will lead, but I think that makes it seem a little more hopeful.
And once again, if you'd like that general package of information, we'll be happy to send it out to you, free of charge, of course. Call us on our toll-free number for the general package of information, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. There's a lot of good information in that general package. You'll find it most interesting, and it'll let you know a lot about who we are. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.